Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
And you forgave the guilt of my sin.
Almighty God, our Maker and our Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ.
O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you, and of your will, and true obedience to your word, so that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father has had mercy upon us, and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen.
The voice of one crying in the wilderness.
Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight.
Hear, O my people, while I admonish you.
O Israel, if you would but listen to me.
I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.
Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it.
But my people did not listen to my voice.
Israel would not submit to me.
Oh, that my people would listen to me.
That Israel would walk in my ways.
Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Advent
is from the book of the prophet Malachi, the third chapter. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver. And they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old, as in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired worker in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, against those who thrust aside the sojourner and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. This is the word of the Lord.
We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out of the place of abundance. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise.
Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you.
All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name.
Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man.
He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot.
There did he rejoice in him who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves.
Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard.
Who has kept our souls among the living and has not let our feet slip.
For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried.
You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs.
You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, the first chapter. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.
And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter.
Glory be to you, Lord.
In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. He said, therefore, to the crowds that had come out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees, and every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, what then shall we do? And he answered them, whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise. Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than you are authorized to do. Soldiers also asked him, and we, what shall we do? And he said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages. As the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he locked up John in prison. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell.
The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text from the Gospel reading. John the Baptist went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become a level way, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God.
Amen.
This is our text. When John appeared near the Jordan River in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when his voice was heard in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. When the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, it ended 400 years of silence. 400 years. That was how long before the Lord had spoken through the prophet Malachi, the last prophet of Israel. God had said, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. I send my messenger. And then nothing. Just prophetic silence for 100, 200, 300. 400 years. Of course, they weren't years of nothing. Things happened. History kept going. During those 400 years, Israel was passed like a football from the Persians to the Greeks to the Romans. There was the Maccabean uprising when they reclaimed the temple and purified it, still celebrated by Jews today as Hanukkah. God was taking care of his people, his nation. God kept his word and promise. And yet he did so in silence. It seemed as though time had run out on Israel. The nation was under Roman control, divided into four parts. Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, ruled in Judea and Jerusalem. Herod Antipas had the north country of Galilee. His brother Philip ruled the regions of Iturea and Trachonitis. Lysanias ruled the area known as Abilene. Long gone were the glory days of Kings David and Solomon. Israel was a vassal state of Rome under the rule of Tiberius Caesar. And things in the temple were no better. The priesthood, oh, that was a shambles. Records had been lost. Family lines were obscured. Who were the true sons of Aaron? The priesthood had become an appointed position, a political position, shared by Annas and Caiaphas. Had you been a first century Israelite, say, living in Bethlehem, you might have concluded that God had forgotten you. But then, a voice came. It didn't come from the temple. It didn't come from Jerusalem. It came from the wilderness. Literally from out of nowhere, a strange figure appeared at the Jordan River, at the very place where Israel had entered the promised land, at the place where the waters of the Jordan River were parted so that they could pass through, at the place where 12 memorial stones had been laid to mark the event for future generations, at the place where Elijah had been whisked off to heaven when the sweet chariots swung low, at that same place, John appeared. He came as prophet. He looked like a prophet. He sounded like a prophet. He identified himself with the voice of Isaiah, the voice calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." He came preaching and something new, baptizing, a washing of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. You might remember that in the Old Testament, sins were dealt with by blood sacrifice, the animal's life in place of yours. But John calls the people to something new and wonderful. Not the blood of sacrifice, because sacrifice is coming to an end through the one who will follow John, but a washing of repentance for forgiveness. Why did John come? Why does he come, so to speak, to us again today? To prepare a people for Jesus, for the Messiah. Because by ourselves, by our own power and strength, by our own reason and wisdom, we will never be prepared. His message can be summarized in a single word: repent. In Greek, metanoia. In Hebrew, shuv. Repent. Change your mind. Change your thinking. Change your notions about who God is and who you are. Repent of your sins. Disown them. Wash them away. Repent of any notion that you can atone for what you've said or what you've done or who you've been. Not even the temple sacrifices could truly take away sin. That's why they had to be done over and over and over again. And repent of all the ways you try to bribe God or manipulate him or prove yourself before him. Crowds of people flocked to John. Here was a novelty. People always flock to religious novelties. How often is something sort of new appear and suddenly people are all about it, talking about it, flocking to it, wanting to hear it and know more about it. And yet John hardly gave them a warm welcome. He wasn't so much into hospitality. John wasn't that kind of preacher. What were the first words he said? "You brood of vipers, you bunch of snakes, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" It's not really the friendly, smiling preacher we might expect. Certainly not the way to start a movement. Insult your first hearers. You know, as we think about John the Baptist, it's interesting to reflect on what might be done to someone like him today. Church bureaucracies wouldn't put up with him. The voters' assembly at the annual meeting would probably vote to get rid of him really quickly. Ecclesiastical institutions would find a way to shut him up by sending him to a far corner where he'd never be heard from again. "We don't want to hear all this repentance talk, John. It's a downer. We don't like to be reminded that we're sinners, John. And what's with this baptism business anyway? Moses never said anything about that. And besides, you're scaring the children, John. So just knock it off." You know, when it comes to John, you can leave your worldly success at the door. He doesn't care who you are. He doesn't care what you've done, what you've accomplished. He doesn't care who your father is. The people who came to him pounding their chest because they were sons of Abraham, John reminds them that God is able to raise up children for Abraham out of stones if he wants. We could say the same about those who might say, "Well, I've been Lutheran all my life," or "I gave my heart to Jesus when I was 16 years old," or whatever you might hold out to justify yourself. He really doesn't care. Credentials will get you nowhere. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. It's like the axe is falling at the root of the tree. When people asked John what they were supposed to do, he told them, "Share your food and your clothing with those in need. Do your vocation honestly. Tax collectors, collect no more than you are authorized to take. Soldiers, don't use your power to extort, and be content with what you're paid." What would he say to us? I think he'd say the same. Tend to your vocation and your responsibilities. Stop whining. Stop taking advantage of others. Stop envying what your neighbor has. Be content with what you make. Share with those in need. And don't think for a moment that you've done enough or that there isn't more to do. Do the goodness and mercy of God to those around you in need. But don't you dare hold up one good work before God to impress him. Your good works aren't for God. They're for your neighbor. The atheist Richard Dawkins, you may have heard the name, he's a fairly well-known figure, he's asked this question. He said, trying to kind of undermine belief in God, but he asks the question, "If you do good works out of fear of punishment, or to seek a reward from God, is it really a good work? If you give your coat to someone in need because you think God will be pleased with you and will reward you, is that actually an act of love for the neighbor? If you do your job honestly and faithfully, giving an honest day's work for a day's wages because you think that God will reward you, is that really a good work?" He has a point. If we're doing it to impress God, it may serve our neighbor, but it certainly is not good in God's sight. All we've done is turned it into a bargaining chip or a transaction. We've made it all about us again, self-centered, self-justifying. John calls to repentance. He calls us to rethink, to reorient ourselves, who God is, because he is the one who kills and makes alive. You could say that John was God's bulldozer, filling the valleys, leveling mountains, straightening the crooked, smoothing the rough, building a highway for God. He was the forerunner, the preparer, the warm-up act, and he was the law personified. If you wanted to know what the law of God looks like, what it's about, look no further than John. If you're looking for comfort, for mercy, for forgiveness, well, you've come to the wrong person and place. John's the one to look you square in the eye and call you and me a snake who deserves to be crushed underfoot. John is law to Jesus' gospel. With John, the axe is laid to the root. With Jesus, the axe swings and falls on him. With John, every tree that doesn't bear good fruit is thrown into the fire. With Jesus, the dead tree, the cross, becomes the good tree of salvation. The fire of God's wrath becomes his burning passion to save. The good fruit that he bears is given to us through his holy gifts. With John, you get commands and threats and punishments and things to do. That's how the law works. It heaps demands on you. It threatens you with an axe and fire if you don't shape up and get with the program. And we might ask of ourselves today, or John asks of us, what are those places in our lives that need to be straightened out and filled in and torn down? The point isn't that we make ourselves ready for Christ. The point is that we see how much we need him. And then Jesus comes on that way with his precious words. Jesus comes following John with the way prepared and the mayhem caused. And he says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. With Jesus, it's not about what you do. It's about what he does. And even repentance isn't your doing. It's about your undoing and his becoming sin for you. He takes your sin and he exchanges it for your righteousness. He takes your repentance, as pitiful and sorry as it is, and he gives you his gifts, his dying and rising to save you from the wrath to come when he returns in glory. There is a coming wrath. Don't be deceived. The scriptures are clear about the wrath and destruction that marks the end. Every valley will eventually be filled, every mountain laid low, every crooked path straightened, every rough place made smooth. God's law will have its way with sinners. So how do we escape the coming wrath? How do we escape that axe laid to the root, the unquenchable fire reserved for fruitless trees and dead branches? How do we escape? Hide. Hide in Jesus. Be sheltered in his death through holy baptism. Be buried with him in his death, where the law has nothing left to say. When that law crushes and condemns us, when it shows us that we are a sinner, don't try and get out from underneath it. Just say, mercy. Mercy in Jesus Christ. Don't look to your works. Don't look to your repentance. Don't look to your righteousness. Look to him. Christ is everything. And he gives that everything to you. He is your righteousness. He is your strength. He is your healing. He is your shelter. The axe was laid low on him. The fire of God's wrath consumed him. You know, even John knows to point to Jesus. He's the one who tells us, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Repent is the word for today. It's a good word. It doesn't mean that you've been bad and need to try harder. It means you're a sinner and you need to die and rise in Jesus. And that's what God is doing to you again today. Repentance is God's work. He's the one paving a highway for himself in you. Repent is an Advent word. It's how God prepares his people to welcome him. And we know this, that God, who has begun a good work in you, will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. And all flesh shall see the salvation of our God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
O Lord, our God, you declared Israel to be your people and brought them out of Egypt. You desired their salvation even when they would not listen to your voice. Since you have called and gathered us also to be your people, open our hearts to listen and gladly submit to your word. We thank you for watching over us during the first night of living nativity. Give us joy, energy, health, and good weather for the second night. And grant that all who see and view our little Bethlehem may come to know and trust the child of Bethlehem as their Savior. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, as you send John the Baptist to prepare the way of the Lord, send forth pastors and missionaries to declare your saving work to the nations. Preserve them from temptation, protect them in suffering, and equip them with every good gift to make known Jesus Christ, who still comes to save. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, as you call and gather us into your family, so bless the households of this congregation. Bless husbands and wives, fathers and mothers in their callings. Sustain those in difficult or struggling marriages. Give those who are single Christian community. Watch over all expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially Stephanie, Annie, and Kelly. Comfort those who bear the cross of infertility and miscarriage. Let love abound more and more and fill our homes and lives with the righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of hosts, St. John the Baptist counseled repentant soldiers to go about their military duties according to your word. Remember those who serve in the armed forces, especially Anthony, Emily, and Brandon, Scott, Jamie, Tim and Kay, Jake and Ryan, Lucia, John, Tom, and Stephen. Protect them from harm. Give them wisdom and courage, and grant that they fulfill their duties honorably. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, your forerunner prepared the way for the one who is mightier than all, your Son, Jesus Christ. For his sake, we entrust to you those in need of healing, especially Tom and Christine, that they might recover fully and quickly. Amen. Rich, that you lead him to the medical care he needs. John and Betsy, for help and peace. Bill and Donna, that they might know your love even as they each deal with cancer. Care to, that her procedures would go well,
and Kimberly for healing of body and salvation in Jesus. We also commend to your care Diane, Amara, Marilyn, Jared, Donna, and Patrick. Have mercy upon each of them, deliver them according to your will, and strengthen them in faith, that they might be assured of your faithfulness. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, you sent St. John the Baptist to prepare all flesh to see the salvation of God. Prepare also the hearts of all who kneel at your altar today to receive worthily Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of their sins. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Holy God, you sent your Son to purify us that we might be righteous and holy before you. Deliver us from the love of sin, which defiles us and stains our works. Cleanse our hearts by your grace, so that we may delight in your promises and our works would be pleasing to you. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever.
Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your boundless mercy, you sent your servant John the Baptist to proclaim that in Christ the kingdom of heaven draws near. With thankful hearts, we pray, come, Lord Jesus, confident that in his body and blood given us to eat and drink, we receive the forgiveness of sins and so proclaim his death until he comes again in glory. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us
our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Today's psalm is Psalm 25, a psalm of prayer starting at the 11th verse. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him he will instruct in the way he should choose. His soul shall abide in the well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. My eyes have never seen toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Consider my affliction, my trouble, and forgive all my sins. Consider how many are my foes, and with what violent hatred they hate me. O guard my soul and deliver me. Do not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem me, Israel, O God, out of his troubles. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Redeem me, Israel, O God, out of his troubles.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Bless me the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.